official Pulp MX app bonus Pulpcast.
Thank you for supporting us with your purchase of the Pulp MX app. Bonus Pulpcasts are provided to add value to your purchase. Please also remember to click the Amazon banner on PulpMX.com when buying anything from Amazon.
Jeff Stanton, six-time AMA champion. We had you talk to you a little while ago on the podcast, and now I'm calling to get the lowdown on the VET Motocross the Nations, which took place in England 2 weeks ago. How was it?
It was awesome. We had a great time. The racing was just fantastic. The people were great. Man, we had a ball. It was so much fun.
It seemed like, I didn't see enough about it. Like, I wanted to know more about the results and more about everything that went down. I talked to Chuck Sun, one of your teammates, on the weekend, but how'd you do? How'd the team do?
We raced four motos,
right?
Okay? And so I went 3-3, I think I was fourth, and in the last moto, I know I was seventh. There was a first turn crash, mm-hmm. and there was like 56 guys on the line. I went from 56 up to seventh.
Yeah,
the track was getting rough and gnarly for an old bike. So, my deal is I was on an Elsinore 250, a 1980,
mm-hmm.
and everybody that was in front of me was on 500. It made for a great show because I would pass everybody in the turns and pass everybody in the tight stuff, and
yeah.
these long, big, straight uphill straightaways, they just blow by me. I'm looking over at them as they're passing me for the fifth time, and so it was great racing because we just put on a hell of a show.
Yeah,
I had an awesome bike. I rode the wheels off of that Elsinore 250, and it was just great. And so Scott Burnsworth, the other teammate, he was always like 10 to 12.
Uh-huh.
In that range, one moto, the last moto, he got sixth, but the other motos, he was like 10 to 12. And then Gibson and Son, they were in the 20 position right in there every time. So, our goal was to be on the podium. We ended up on the podium. And we did what we wanted. But it wouldn't be that hard to go over there with better bikes and have four guys. If you got four guys in the top 10, all motos, easily win.
Yeah, yeah. And everybody, there's all sorts of classes and all that, but the VET des Nations was twin shocks. I think that was the rule Chuck was telling me.
Yep, yeah. Yep. Twin shocks, definitely. The VET is twin shocks, got to have two shocks. So, they got to be basically 1980 and down, know?
Yeah.
And it was funny because the guys, the Belgian team, Belgium had three teams, and Sylvain Gaborz pulls in there with a big semi and unloaded like 20 RM 500s, and if they were coming from Sylvain, they were
right,
like they were badass.
This,
okay,
yeah.
they were perfect. And so the two guys that consistently beat me, they were on RM 500 Suzukis on the Belgian team.
Uh-huh.
And quite honestly, I got great starts. It was a cheater gate. It was a forward falling gate, and
uh-huh.
I knew that I had to time it and cheat it just a little bit to have a chance. And so I pulled two whole shots, and I battled with those guys, and everybody's like, how are you doing that on that thing?
Right,
so,
right.
It was fun as heck.
Jeff, it was revenge for Dirk Gerkens, the Belgian.
Yeah, exactly.
They were all laughing about how they stuck it to you years later. I saw a video. The track, obviously, a longtime GP track, not in use anymore, but it looked epic and perfect for older bikes.
It was absolutely awesome, and I'll tell you, by the end of four motos mm-hmm. and all the classes that they have, it got so rough that it was way too rough for vintage bikes.
Really, huh?
That's why I went from 56 to 7, because I just rode the wheels off of it and could handle it. But some of them older guys, they just couldn't handle it that rough. But it was huge uphills, downhills, straightaways,
right.
just big sweeping turns. It was all grass when we started.
Mm-hmm.
No jumps at all. It was just absolutely awesome.
How long were the motos?
20 minutes.
20 minutes. So, yeah, a long time. Yeah. Like for, Chuck Sun's 60 almost, I think. And, it seemed like there was some other older, real older guys there. How was your fitness? How'd you feel? I mean, was your back sore from those shocks and the lack of shocks?
No, I didn't have any problems. I did four motos on the MX the Nations, and then I did four motos on a, they had a, what was it called, Retro 500 or something.
Uh-huh.
So I had an absolute perfect, beautiful 1989 CR500. I went out and battled some of the faster kids. There was some kids that still raced the GP circuit that was there riding them. And so I went out and went a little faster than I wanted to for a couple of motos, but it was fun. I had just a great bike. David Thorpe was there doing some laps for charity for breast cancer, and so we spent a lot of time with a bunch of great guys.
Yeah, man, I didn't know anything about this 500. Like, this race seems to like knock out a lot of coverage over here. I didn't know anything about this. How awesome is that?
It was great. You know, David Thorpe had a whole slew of his championship bikes there, and like I said, he was just letting everybody go and just doing laps for charity, just putting around, you know, waving to the crowd. Yeah. He probably did 500 laps that day, all for, you know, money just to charity for breast cancer. So one moto, I just went out and rode around with him, and so it's a great deal. They have so many classes. They got a 125 twin shock, a 250 twin shock, 500 retro class, and then the big class, of course, the Vets Motocross Nations class.
Right.
Just tons of racing, and you know, the English people, they just love it. They dig it all, and so that's as much fun as it was anything.
You know, you love Sherwood. You love Sherwood, Michigan. I it takes a lot to get you out of there. So
it does.
Are you glad you went? You pumped? You had a great time? Yeah.
Oh, we did. You know, I took my son with me, and you know, I hadn't seen his dad around that many people, and you know, racing like that. So
yeah,
we had a ball. We got to stay in the castle. We got to tour a bunch of castles, and we had a great time.
Lots of people looking for your autograph. Like, still people pumped to see Jeff Stanton show up there.
Oh yeah, most definitely. The promoter knew what he was doing. You know, I'd never raced in England before, and so it turned out great.
Coolest bike you saw? Was there one that stood out, or a couple? I saw there was a Neil Hudson had a aluminum frame YZ500 from back in the late 80s.
Man, the thing is with this race is the people take it super, super serious.
Yeah.
There were some absolutely awesome vintage bikes that people had put up, made up, and were out racing.
So anything that stands out for you? Like, did you take a look around or you know? Anything that...
You know, you're going to laugh when you see this, but I saw some really nice Yamaha 490s.
Oh, come on. you're right. I am going to laugh.
you know, look, just seeing some of the older Yamaha stuff really reminded me of you know, my past, because, you know, I was a champion on a Yamaha 100.
Right.
And I saw some of them, and you know, the same year with the Yamaha with the radiator, a part of the front number plate. You know, just some really great bikes. Some bikes that were sold, dude, I didn't even know what they are. You know, I've never seen an OSA and, some stuff I've never even heard of from Europe that everybody was all googly-eyed for.
Right.
Some one-off Husky stuff, some factory stuff from way back in the day that was just really funky. Yeah, a lot of cool stuff.
Hey, and also, too, you don't do a lot of races. I remember one time I asked you about it, and you were just like, I got nothing to prove. You're not going to see me at Loretta's. You know, I've done everything. And this wasn't, you know, a real pressure-filled race. But having said that, you don't do a lot of races. How'd it feel on the starting line? Like, how was it for you?
Well, you know, I did a bunch of local racing before I went over, and so it kind of got them nerves out. But, dude, it was awesome. It was, you know, like I said, it was a huge starting line, 56 guys going into the first turn. It wasn't a joke. It was, you know, I knew that I wanted to be in that first turn, at least in the top five every time, to, you know, have a chance at, you know, being on the podium every time.
Yeah.
So, it was, you know, if the gate drops, all the bullshit stops, it was a full-on race.
Right. Who'd you battle with? Was there somebody that from your olden days that, you know, still had some speed like you? And I mean,
you know, the guy that won every moto was DeWitt.
Werner DeWitt.
From Belgium. He won every moto on one of Sylvan's bikes. And the thing is, the Americans are never going to go over there and beat those guys, because all those guys race a 15-race vintage series every year.
Oh, they do? And oh, okay.
So they're on their bike. They know that bike inside and out. They race it 15, 20 times a year. And I could keep up with them on that Elsinore 250 just, you know, because of my skills, but they just out-ponied me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm I mean, no offense to Werner DeWitt, but in your two primes, you know, you don't even see him on a track. So, obviously.
Exactly. And that's why I say the bikes are so huge. You know, you got to have a great bike.
Right. What about some guys? Did some guys have some speed that you didn't even know who they were? Just vintage guys, the hardcore racers? Or was it all?
Yeah, there's some guys from England that were on 490 Makos that were, you know, just on great bikes and knew the track and rode the track before. You know, they were there the last couple of years. They did a, you know, yeah, there were some guys that were great.
Yeah. Well, thanks, man. I wanted to get the lowdown a little bit on this race. I just, like I said, I wish I knew more about it, you know? Didn't seem like it got a lot of press over here. And I was like,
It didn't have that much press. You know, there were some issues. O'Hanna was supposed to come cover it, but last minute didn't happen. It would have been cool to see somebody there and cover it, because it's only going to get bigger and bigger.
Right.
You know, I hope to get, you know, Wardy or a Lachine or somebody like that to go do it with us next year.
Oh, so you're on board. You're coming back. You're going back.
Oh, yeah. I already told everybody in England I'm coming back. I got the same bike. I got the same bike to ride next year. And, the guy just provided me. I had a 1980 Honda, dude, and the foot pegs were tight, the levers were tight, and just the thing didn't rattle. It was just a mint bike. And so I told everybody, I'll ride the same bike, even though it doesn't have enough ponies. But I know it'll start every time. I can ride the thing into the ground, 2 or 4 40-minute motos, and I know it's not going to break on me. Yeah. And that's huge.
You're like, listen, assholes, I know I got fourth, but I'll be back. I'm coming back.
Yep.
That's funny. Right on. Yeah, I hope to. I think Racer X is going to do something on it. I hope. I don't know why.
I got a bunch of great pictures coming, and I have some great pictures, so I just need to get them in give some people something to look at anyway.
It sounded like an awesome deal. Before I go, officially came out the news, Justin Brayton signed with Factory Honda. Thoughts on that?
No, you know what? I think it's great. Justin's, you know what? I've had more than one person tell me that they think Justin's, much like myself, a hard worker. He lacks a little on talent. But, you know, with the economy the way it is, you know, we just couldn't afford to go out and get, you know, the guys that are first, second, or third. And so, you know, I think they can – American Honda and the people around him can make Justin a consistent top-five guy. And, you know, quite honestly, that's what they need right now.
And Andrew Short's back on Honda, albeit with Larry Brooks, Jeremy McGrath team.
Yeah.
That's cool.
In fact, I just was told that today. So, that's a good thing. He's familiar there. And, you know, Andrew's one of those guys. Hopefully he can rebound and be a top-five guy like he has been in the past.
Right, yeah, exactly. And anything with you and Justin Barcia? I heard maybe something was going to go on.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm going to be working with Justin.
Cool. Right on.
I mean, it's no
picnic.
it's not a picnic, but it's not rocket science. Justin needs a little more conditioning. I mean, the guy's got so much speed. I mean, we saw it at how many of the races on the 450 when he gets past the last 10 minutes. It doesn't take rocket science to figure out what the problem is. So, we're going to spend a bunch of time this fall getting some training in. You know, the kid's young. He just needs to build up a base. That's my honest opinion. So, just do a bunch of endurance training and get his strength built up. You know what? Quite honestly, I can do a little bit with him on his riding, but the guy's so stinking talented beyond me that I just can get my hands on him, can control that emotion and guide all the energy into the right path. And I really think that I can help the kid out and make him a champion for many years. He's definitely got it, just fine-tuning it.
Right, yeah, you're right. He's real close. Does that mean we're going to see you at more races?
Quite possibly, yes.
Okay, right on. Jeff Stanton, back on the road.
I'm not going to get carried away and start going to 30 races a year. But I really just want to spend a bunch of time with him and do some training, which I do every day anyway, and you know, get his conditioning up to where it needs to be.
Great. Well, hey, thanks, Jeff. Always a good talk, and thank you for doing this. I wanted to get the scoop on that, and see you around, man. See you soon.
All right. Thanks,
Jeff.
See you. Bye.